let's hear from God in His Word. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. We'll be reading two passages. Okay, and let's stand as we read the two passages. It's just both in 2 Timothy. So you just turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. We look at the influence of a godly mother. The influence of a godly mother. Okay, I hope we have the sound as well. Okay. Alright, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. Let's read 2 Timothy 1 verse 5 and then 2 Timothy verse, chapter 3 verse 14 to verse 17. Okay, ready? 1, 2, begin. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Chapter 3, verse 14, 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our mothers today. I know, Lord, that the rest of the children and the fathers, the message is for the mothers, but I pray that you help us to realize thy word is for everyone. But Lord, today specifically, may thy word challenge the mothers to not just be mothers, but to be godly mothers. Mothers that put God and Christ and the Word of God and everything that pertains to the kingdom of God as priority. For that is what we find in the Bible, Lord. And so I pray today that will speak through me. Thy Word will be the anchor, Lord, of our heart and souls today. I pray that there will be mothers who will walk out here knowing your Word, wanting to be obedient, and that Father, the family's life, the children's life, the husband's life will change because of mothers. Lord, for the rest of us, for young ladies who are not married, I pray, Father, that as you would give them spouses, I believe next time, that these are the principles, Lord, that they must be prepared to put into their lives even right now. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us and strengthen us as a church that we have strong mothers. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Let me just... Okay. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14... I'll just begin. Okay, don't turn there. The mark. Paul first met Timothy, all right? Paul first met Timothy in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Paul first met Timothy. Let me just read there. To give you a bit of background first. Okay. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timothy or Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, which this woman was a Jew. And this disciple, named Timothy, believed, but his father was a Greek. So when Paul met Timothy, Timothy was already a Christian. He came from a family whereby the mom was safe, but the husband was not. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, we were further introduced to the family that the grandmother was also a Christian. So this message is not only for mothers, but also for grandmothers. In Paul's writing, Paul told Timothy how when Paul remembered this family, he remembered the genuine Christian faith that was in Timothy. And mothers, you need to take note of this, because Paul says, I'm persuaded of the unfeigned faith in you, which first dwelt in the grandmother and then in the mother. And Paul says, I hope it is in you also. Okay? So we will introduce more to the family. In Paul's writings, the grandmother was Lois, and the mother's name was Eunice. From these words, we gather that despite Timothy having an unsafe father, an absent father, children, are you listening? Despite the fact that there may be some inconsistencies within the family, Timothy, the grandmother and the mother were still able to influence little Timothy for Jesus and passed on the Christian faith, which can be seen now in Timothy also. Despite the fact that fathers were not involved, the challenge that Paul gives, I believe, that is relevant for modern day Singapore, because sometimes in some situations, one of the parents is not involved. But the hope for mothers is that you are still able to pass on and influence your child for the kingdom of God. And the faith obviously is seen right now in Timothy. After he met Paul, actually became a pastor. So Paul added value to what was already there is. But the key was, mothers, we can influence our children to the Lord Jesus. We can pass on this faith. We can influence our little ones. And I'm going to show you a short video clip with permission from the author. The influence, the actress might be quite familiar. How many of you remember this verse? Let me play it again. Which VBS was this from? Huh? Neither do they understand. This is an adult version. Which VBS was it from? It just passed. December. You know what's the interesting thing? This is, of course, with permission from Sister Jamie. Sister Jamie wasn't teaching Emma. Sister Emma. Well, thank God, maybe many years we call Sister Emma, right? She was just running around the classroom. But when she went home, whatever the children recited, Emma was able to bring it out. What does that tell you, families? I'll show you something else later.
Yeah, now I get all of you already.
The influence, not just of the mother, but of the environment, is enough to make sure that the little child... Now, Emma just passed 2 years old. Don't tell me younger children cannot learn the word of God. She was reciting it. Probably the other children were also saying it. Because I said Sister Jamie took the class from, I think, 3 to 6. Little Emma, 2 years old, was able to recite the Bible verse already. The influence of the environment was enough to help little Emma put in the word of God. Mothers, you are with your child, hopefully, about 24 hours a day. You can influence a child. Emma's going to remember this verse. You know, once the word of God is in there, it stays with the child. Whether it comes out or not, it's in the child. Okay? And this is a challenge. Why is it so important for us to be an influence, mothers, or the rest of us as well? I believe the points are relevant, but mothers, it's important because firstly, it is God's will. Proverbs 1 verse says that, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." There's a difference. Fathers always like to give instructions. Do this, go and sleep, switch off the computer, wash your clothes. Mothers, on the other hand, persist with certain rules and principles of life. Please make your bed every morning. Remember to brush your teeth after you eat. How many times must I tell you? And it's a principle, a law. And sometimes children scared. Okay, you told me 1,000 times. You know why moms have to keep reminding? Because we are not, it's not coming in, okay? It's not going in. You know, know, the question we need to ask ourselves is, what laws, mothers, are you teaching your children to keep? What laws are you teaching your children to keep? That's first one. It's God's will. Number two, it's important to be an influence because children, the children that God gave us, are a heritage of God. The word heritage is an inheritance. When someone passes away, he leaves a heritage or inheritance to the next generation, right? Generally, this person that received the heritage will do whatever he would like with it. Many times it's money, sometimes it's property. All right? The person has passed away. But you know what's the difference? When God gives a heritage, he's still around. And when the children are given to us, it is given to us as a heritage of God, a heritage that belongs to God. Children are not our own. We do not have a right to do with our children what we think. We are stewards of our children, parents. And therefore, in order for us to be faithful to our Heavenly Father, we need to find out from Him what is His mindset for the children that God puts into your life. It's a heritage. Lord, children are a heritage of God. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Children is an inheritance. You know, for some of us, you know how hard your mom and dad have worked, and when they pass something down to you, you will treasure it, right? No, it's a sad thing that today, some mothers don't really treasure their children. In the whole society we live, we have children. I mean, it's sad that children are just thrown out. In many countries of the world, children are not even seen as important, and parents will leave their children. Of course, sometimes when bad things happen to the children, they regret. All right, there was one very sad case in Singapore many years ago. There was one mom who went to work, and the maid was so, I'm not too sure, so frustrated or what, or maybe she's trying to adjust. And I think it was a little infant, and she poured boiling something into the child, boiling oil or something into the child's, and you know, the child is scarred for life. She can't talk and all that kind of thing. All right. And of course, the mother regretted and all that kind of thing. And we live in an environment and generation today that sometimes we forget that children are given as a gift for us to manage for God, for His work. Okay? The next one, because we are living in spiritually and morally dangerous times. Mothers, we need to influence our children. Another reason is because we are living in dangerous times. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also that in the last days, which is today, we are living currently in this age, this generation, in perilous times shall come. We are living in perilous times. I'll give you quotations from the Straits Times. Number one, Ben had his first drink when he was of whiskey and cola when he was 13 in secondary one. This is commonplace in Singapore. Common. We have people that come to our youth at the age of 11 or 12, they're already drinking with their parents. It was with his group of friends after school at a staircase near his Redfield home. It's not a big deal, insists Ben. Now 18, my older brother is always already drinking, and my father drank at home all the time, he said, 1st of March 2015. This is not far away. She was 12 years old and in primary 6 when she got pregnant. This is commonplace. Our social workers are sounding the alarm. I was reading some social work statistics. I personally have counseled 14-year-olds who were expecting. I'm not even a pastor yet. That was back more than 10 years ago. This is commonplace. We are living in spiritually and morally dangerous times. Mothers, God said so. Another reason why we need to influence our children is because they all have an eternal soul that must stand before God one day. When we look at the the Bible says, sorry, I just read the verse, as appointed unto men, once to die, after that is the judgment. After that is the judgment. Our children will have to stand before God one day. and the fact that God put the child into our homes, and if we are Christian, we've got to prepare these children to stand before God one day. We've got to prepare our children to stand before God. PhDs and unique skills and niche areas can be part of the electives. But mothers, what are we influencing our children for? You know, it scares me. In Singapore, Christian mothers do not have a Christian-based, Bible-based, Christ-centered curriculum for their children. That their goal is to one day my children have to stand before God and I'm going to prepare him for it. Through all the duties of life, everything points back to God. Not developing the unique skills of the children because God will help them as we prepare them. I'm not saying we discount the fact that children do have unique skills and all that, but you know what? What is the primary goal? The goal that will supersede everything. Everything in the life that as mothers we want for our children. What is the most important thing? We've got to make a decision because what we think is important ultimately will affect our children. I'll bring it up afterwards. Okay? How ought a godly mother influence her children? Taking the passage from 2 Timothy, I hope these four principles will ring in our hearts. How do we influence these children? How do we, as a godly mother, how ought a godly mother to influence his children? Number one, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, unpretentious. The word unfeigned means non-hypocritical, is genuine, is the real thing. That when the child looks at you, they don't look at anything else. They say, "Well, I see Christ in my mom. 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 I see the words she says is from Christ. I see the deed she did is from Christ. I see the attitude she has is from Christ." The unfeigned, unpretentious. Now, when I say that, it doesn't mean that for us, it's, "Oh, I'm a lousy Christian." No, we're not perfect. But you know what? Even very skillful people make mistakes. I know in soccer, for example, how many of you know Cristiano Ronaldo? He's a very, very good soccer player. He makes mistakes. He doesn't win every World Cup. But you know what? When you mention his name, you know he's a very skillful soccer player. Yes? Messi is another one. Maybe I shouldn't use people like that. Lee Kuan Yew. He's not perfect. He made mistakes before. But you know what? He's a strong, consistent leader. And you know he loves Singapore. Right? Yeah, he does a lot of things that you may not agree with, but you know he's a consistent Singaporean leader. And we thank God for that. When Paul says, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, which was first. In other words, from the grandmother, it was genuine faith. The mother Eunice was genuine faith, and now Timothy is the genuine faith. Paul can see that. How do we influence our children through a sincere and genuine faith? When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in thee, which dwelt first in thy mother, grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in thee also. This faith is not counterfeit. Mothers don't behave one way at home, another way in church, another way in a workplace. The faith that you have in home need to be the faith you have in church, need to be the faith that you have in your workplace, need to be the faith everywhere you go, need to be the faith when you go to the supermarket and someone steps on your toes, that you will say, "It's okay, I forgive you, it's okay." The faith must be consistent. What is the nature of this kind of faith? Is a committed faith. Remember Samuel's mummy? Samuel in the Bible, okay? There are three elements of this faith that's unfair. Number one is a committed faith. A committed faith. Samuel's mummy is? Who is Prophet Samuel's mother? Hannah. Well, next time our Hannah will, well, never mind, I won't say anything else. Hannah was a committed, he has a committed faith. She prayed when times are tough. She prayed when times are tough for Hannah when she didn't have a child. But that was tough in those days. You know, the first thing Hannah did in that verse needs to be mothers, how we deal with troubles. Hannah had a trouble that is, even the husband didn't understand her. Husbands, we need to work hard in understanding our wives, and I'm saying that truthfully. Sometimes mothers, I think sometimes you know that some trials in life that even you yourself go through, your husband don't understand. You know what Hannah does? Hannah did not blame the husband. Hannah did not blame the situation. You know what she did? She took the trial to the only one that can help her, and that's God. It's a committed faith. It's a committed faith. God's not our lawyer that we go to him only when we have trials. But you know what? He should be our God that whenever there's a trial, the first thing we go to is him. Number two, his faith. Hannah prayed when times are tough, but Hannah gave when she was blessed. You look at the verse there in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 22. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go until the child be weaned. You know, Hannah was without child, but God remembered her. God gave her the child. You know, when she was blessed, the first thing she remembered was God. And I can tell you, I won't go into a lot of detail, but those coming to church camp, I'm going to expound on Samuel's life and Hannah's life and how as mom, her life was dedicated to God so much that Samuel was given 100% to God. Okay, we're going to be dealing with that. But her faith was, in good times, she gave. In bad times, she prayed. She was committed because her faith was the most important thing in her life. Mom, what's the most important thing in your life? Is it your children? You know, some people may not agree with me, but I believe the Bible teaches this. Your children must not be your most important thing in your life. Your relationship with God. And once the relationship with God is number one, it actually transcends and encompass every area of your life. God's priorities, God's words, God's principles, God's direction in this world and his will and his kingdom will transcend everything else, including our children. Why do I say that? Because Jesus said, if you love your father, mother, children more than me, you're not worthy of me. All right? So I want to set it plainly. But the more mothers, you know what's the exciting thing? The more you love God, the more you love your children. Amen? And that's how it works. We forget that God actually has the best love for our children. And when we love him, and we grasp his love, and we give it to our children will actually have the best. May not be what we think is the best, but it's God's best. Okay? So it was a committed faith. But she was also a mother in the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, in verse 1, let me just read that. I think it's somewhere around here. Let me just read that. You want to turn there? You can. 1 Samuel chapter 2, in verse 1. She praised God, and this is what it says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. He was a mom in the Lord. In other words, her priorities was always in the Lord. She searches the scriptures to find out about the decisions that she is going to make. She does, even when she told, do you know that in the Hannah, when she was without child, followed the husband to the temple at Jerusalem every year. In the Jewish Levitical law, it is required for the men to do that. 3 times a year, all men must go to Jerusalem. It wasn't a biblical requirement for ladies. But you know what? Hannah said, I'll go with you anyway, because I can sacrifice to God. But you know, when she had a child, she said, I'm not going up this year. Why? She didn't have to. But I want to prepare my son Samuel that when he is ready and weaned, I'm going there to give back to God what God has given to me. She was in the Lord. Her decisions are in the Lord. Everything that she has is in the Lord. Mothers, we need to be in the Lord. Firstly, it was a committed faith. But number two, it was a daring faith. There's another mummy in the Bible. Who is Moses' mummy? All right, now this is going to be a challenge. Moses' mummy, what is his name? Okay, some of you are smiling. How many honestly don't know? Put out a hand. It's okay. How many honestly know? Put your hand. Yeah, I think most of us know, eh? Mommy's name is? 1, 2, 3. Georgia Beck, okay? It was a daring faith. It was a daring faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. The word proper child means, and that's interesting, parents, you know what a proper child means? Proper child means handsome. But a proper child has more meaning than that. When you look at Exodus, we'll turn there afterwards. The parents saw this child, God has potential for. This child, God can use. He was a proper child. He wasn't deformed. Everything was okay about him. And as a Jewish mother and a Jewish father, the Bible says parents, when they look at this child, how many of you know in your Bible knowledge what happened at that time? Pharaoh has instituted a decree that every male child must be killed. Okay? But when the baby was born and Amram and Jochebed, Moses' father and mother, look at the child and say, no, this is a proper child. Everything is okay about him. God has a plan. God has a plan. It was a daring faith because, let's turn to Exodus chapter 2, all right? Mothers, may I challenge you with this? The Bible says the parents saw, and I believe that the Jewish dad, Amram, must have had some things that he did within or some decisions he made. But notice who did the execution. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, it was a daring faith. And there went a man of the house of Levi, took to wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And I want you to notice the verbs. When she saw him, the mother, she hid him. She was the one who hid Moses, verse 3. And when she could no longer hide him because he was making a lot of noise, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dubbed it with slime and pitch. Basically, he making a little ark enough to put a baby inside. Put the child therein, and she laid it in the flax by the river's brink. She was the one who saw the baby, that he was good. She was the one who says, no, I'm not going to let the king. She was not afraid of the king's commandment. Mothers, you do not have to fear what this world tells you about how you need to bring up your children. The Pharaoh said, kill every of this child. Satan says, I want to destroy every child that comes into every family with worldliness and sin and all the perilous things of this world. Parents, we don't have. Mothers, we don't have to be fearful. We've got God. Amen? We've got God to give us instructions. And so when Jochebed saw, no, I'm not going to give my child to be killed by the king. You know what she did? She put the child, put her in a basket made of bulrushes. That's why we have the title, Moses' basket. She put it inside to make it waterproof. And she put it in the river Nile. You know what she was doing? You know what river Nile was famous for? It was infested with crocodiles. Tell me about daring faith. How daring is your faith, mothers, that you are willing to say, I know the world does this, I'm going to follow God. This is what I believe God wants me, and this is how I need to train my children in what God says. I don't care what's going to happen. I just want to trust God. The world says this, but God says this. I'll follow God. It was a daring faith. It was a daring faith. Would you dare to give up something dear to you to fulfill the will of God in influencing your children for Christ? It's a decision. I'm sure many of us will have our philosophies of how we need to bring up children. Mothers, if what you're doing, you look 5, 10, and this is where fathers need to help our mothers a bit, because mothers need to do the practical things. As fathers, you need to be able to look ahead and say, is this going to lead my child to serve God? Or, more and more, it's going to lead my child away. I used this before, I use it again. There was a Korean jetliner who was taking off from Philadelphia to fly back to Korea. The airline pilot calculated the distance from Philadelphia all the way back to Korea. not North Korea, of course, it's South Korea, in 1981. But the plane's captain make one mistake. The course from here to here, he missed by 1 degree. Initially, when he took off from Philadelphia, the degree is small. But you look at the straight line, the 1 degree becomes bigger as the plane flies. Unfortunately, the plane went into Russian airspace and the Russian fighter jet scrambled and shot down, killing every passenger in the plane. With that illustration in mind, how are we calibrating our plans today for our children of tomorrow? Do not think that your decisions today will not affect your children tomorrow. It will. And being a pastor for the last 15 years and a Christian for 35 years, I've seen how parents make decisions and how their children end up. And I'm saying this with a passion. We need to be in God. We need to be like George Bear and say, Lord, the world says this, but your word says this. I'm going to follow you. Mothers, we need to have daring faith. A faith that says, I don't care what the world says, I'm going to follow not my heart, what God said. I'm going to follow my husband who follows God. And husbands, we need to calibrate the direction for our children. It was a committed faith. It was a daring faith. And number three, it was an evangelistic faith. Why do I say that? Timothy was saved because of, not because of the Apostle Paul. I used to think that Timothy met Paul so he got saved. No, he didn't. It was Lois. It was Eunice. And then it was Timothy's faith. Because it was what Paul says. It was an evangelistic faith. In Acts 16, verse 1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed. This Timothy was already believed, but his father was a Greek. Of course, the most ideal is for both parents to be there, but sometimes the parents just are not there. And fathers, we cannot be absent for our mothers. Very hard for mothers to do the job. If our fathers, we are absent, sometimes we are physically present, but we are mentally and spiritually absent from the life and direction of our children. We need to be there for them. I know you've got to make ends meet. And fathers, maybe I just take aside. We got to make ends meet, yes. But if you have a choice between a child that is walking faithfully with God and perhaps $1 million in your bank, which would you have? I'm talking about long term, not talking about short term. Sometimes we say, oh, short term, everything is fine. Yeah, it's fine. But what are we planning for our children long term? What's in our hearts? It was an evangelistic faith. You know, then how do we pass on our faith of Christ to our children? I think that's the key. Okay? Point number two, through honoring and training your child in the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and has been assured of, knowing of whom, plural. Well, that's a wonderful one. Mom, you're included in this. When Paul met Timothy, Timothy was already saved, right? Okay? And God, or rather Paul, led Timothy to the point that he's dedicated his life to the Lord. Now, it's interesting. Can I say this? It's very hard for children to change course after what? Moms and dads, you have influenced your child. What do I mean? If for the first 15 or 18 years of their own lives, children have been trained or taught to live for themselves, it is very hard after that for someone to come and say, let's go full time, man. Let's just serve the Lord 100%. There will always be, why do our young people struggle today? Because of Korean pop, or Japanese pop, because of lollipop, and other pops. Why? Because the influence have been in one direction, and all of a sudden, you come to a place where the Bible is preached, and then we're supposed to serve God. But then your children are living for themselves, developing their own gifts, and to the point, there's nothing wrong. I'm an occupational therapist. We deal with child-centered. Everything that the child can do, as an occupational, we have to help the child. But this child has with special needs. They can't do anything else. They can just do what they can. But moms, unless our children have special needs, and I don't think our children have, what's the direction that we give to our children? The influence of mom and dad in the course of their lives, and especially mom, because you are 75-80% of your children, of course, the last one, because dad has to work and all that. No, because that doesn't absolve you of that. Can I say this? I just put it in perspective. In a family, that's the one that plans the direction, and mom's the one that executes the direction. That's God's plan. Okay? That's God's plan. And we need to realize that. And then, mom, when you come to actually executing the things, how do we do that? You know, for Timothy, Lois, and Eunice influenced Timothy so much that when Paul came, Timothy became a pastor. Can I ask you, moms, would you dare to say, or dads, whose moms are not here, are you preparing your children to serve God? Are you preparing your child to serve God? I'm talking about a principle in their life, that God's priority and kingdom always comes first. You know, it seems to me that was what Lois and Eunice did at that time. Because the moment Paul came, he went full time. He was willing to serve God. Now, some people, having understood some of the sentiments of people, but Brother Johnny, not everyone served God full time. I understand. But through the activities and the daily things you do, does the activities inculcate a regular increasing desire for God? Does it or does it not? And if it does not, then we need to realign that thinking and planning back to 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatsoever they eat or drink, and whatsoever you do all to the glory of God. Does that make sense? And so how do we train our children in the word of God? The point is associates, all right? So the word whom thou hast learned from, okay, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it said, continue thou in the things. Okay, Paul was challenging Timothy, continue to do those things that you have learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned. Knowing of whom you have learned. And that's a very important principle. You know why? Because Paul is referring to the testimony of what the mothers have in Timothy's life. Paul wasn't just saying, just remember what you've learned. You know, sometimes fathers, I have one picture with her. Fathers are smoking. You are. I tell you, next time you better don't smoke. I don't listen to what I, don't look at what I do. I just listen to what I say. Children will always follow what you do. That was so convicting in my life. Parents, your children will not listen to your instructions, but they will see and imitate what you do. Paul and associates, Lois and Eunice, and this is a clincher, I believe this is a crunch and principle that we need to have for mothers. What is important to you will become important to your children. This is just a principle. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from that. That was what Solomon said in the Bible. Oh, it doesn't mean do what you want and finally your children will turn out for God. That's not what it means. It means if you train your child in a certain way, the child will turn out in a certain way. When he's old, he's not going to depart from that. Okay? So how do we do that? There must be a teaching using the Word of God. Parents, we need to honor God's word. And the principle is that Lois and Eunice had a testimony in God's word. And Paul uses that to tell Timothy, remember the people that has influenced your life. The people that have influenced your life. And that from a child. The word child there, if you look up consistently across the scriptures, it has to do with the whole range of the child in terms of age. It has the idea of infants. The same Greek word is used, all right? The idea of infants all the way to maybe a young toddling child, okay? So that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, okay? We need the sound again. The Bible says there needs to be a teaching in the Word of God. You know, but Brother Johnny, my child is too young. Yeah, there's some children, they cannot articulate. But I want us to, here's this one, yet another actress again. I want you to hear, I think this was done at about 2 years old. Okay, what verse was that? Okay, I'll listen properly again, huh? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Don't tell me children cannot learn Bible verses. Emma will remember this for the rest of her life. The very first verse in the Bible tells us that God is supremely in charge of everything in this universe. And her accountability, of course, this will, when she's 15, 16, 17 years old, we can teach her that she is supremely accountable to the one that created her. And from the beginning, the mom has already taught her, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'll just play it one more time. You listen, you just hear. You can have fun with your kids while learning the Bible. But what was the curriculum? What was the curriculum? It is my conviction, or rather, maybe I put it this way. For my four children, my wife made it a priority that before the age of three, beyond the age of three, that all my children would know all the known Bible stories by the age of three. Hope to be an example to you. Fathers, we need to encourage our mothers, and we need to be together with our, the parents need to make it a priority. There must be a teaching of the Word of God. Okay? I'm going to touch on that also in the church camp. But Brother Johnny, but you don't understand the verse. You realize one passage in the scriptures teach is so important that when a child understands the routine, the next thing is only for the Holy Spirit to make the person alive. Think about that. When a child is just learning the Word of God, it's all prepared. We have done our part. We have sowed the seed. The next step is for the Holy Spirit to make it alive. You know what is the tragedy of many Christian families? I'm thankful for our church families. We are very, repeating again and again, I'm sure many of them are. You know what's the tragedy of many Christian families I know? When the Holy Spirit wants to work, there is no Word of God to make the person alive. Oh, because the studies of this world are more important. The things of this world are more important. And this is exactly for those who are regularly coming for Sunday Bible Hour. One of the things that choke out the Word of God is the cares and the pleasures and the riches of this world. Luke chapter 8, verse 12. Parents, I challenge you, there must be a teaching in the Word of God. Number two, there must be a training in the Word of God. What does it mean? Brother Johnny, is that in the same teaching and training? No, teaching is telling. Many parents are very, they know they're supposed to teach by their words. But training is a different thing. Training means not only do I tell the child to do it, I would, this is a taboo word, but I will make the child do it when they're young. Oh, Brother Johnny, you can't force a child. Okay? Then prepare for a spoiled brat. I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand me, that we must always twist the arm of the child. When the child is without understanding, parents, you are the understanding. Do you understand that? When a child don't understand what is right and wrong, parents, you are the right and wrong for them. And you've got to teach them. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his teaching of the people who are trying to make ends meet, Matthew 6:33, the Lord Jesus was actually teaching a whole group of people to trust God, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, it's interesting. The Lord Jesus presented two views. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you drink. Because God takes care of you. Okay? You know, at the end, the Lord Jesus did not leave the decision to the people. He actually gave them what is the right decision. And that's a verse that we memorize all the time. He could have said, all right, I've given you this and this. You know, you don't have to worry about your food. God's going to take care of it. Jesus could have backed off, but he didn't. You know what he said, Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put God first in everything. His kingdom first, his righteousness first, and everything else you're going to have. Does that make sense? Parents in training, mothers in training our children, you are the right and wrong for your children. There must be a training in the Word of God. You must train your child to follow the Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, teaching them what is right, teaching them the right thing. What are some things that Timothy may have learned from the parents? Prayer is one. I'm sure Lewis and Eunice prayed and said, Tim, come, I need to teach you to pray. For those who attend the Sunday Bible Hour, one of the first things, prayer must be learned. Prayer must be learned. Because John the Baptist's disciples saw Jesus praying in Luke 11 verse 1. And then when Jesus sees, the disciples of John came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. Don't assume your children know how to pray. Parents, when was the last time you teach your child to say, okay, when you pray, you must say this. You need to do that. You need to do that. Because that is part of the training. And say, and you know, some children just say, I don't want to pray. When a child comes to a stage that they make their decision, you may have lost it, mums and dads. You may have lost it. I didn't say you have lost it, but you may have lost it because you have never influenced them to pray. Another thing, definitely learning of the Old Testament law, because you know he was a Jewess, she was a Jew, learning of the Pentateuch, to obey the Ten Commandments, I'm very sure, Lois, because they were Jews, he would have asked them to remember the Ten Commandments, or honor your parents, keep the Sabbath day, but the moment they got saved, they taught Timothy in the Word of God. Doing your duties, being faithful in tithing and all that. So when the grandma and mother became Christians, they immediately ensured Timothy knew the Word of God, that is able to make him wise to salvation. You know what? I'm sure Lois and Eunice must have taught their children salvation in Christ. That don't think that just because you are born to our family, you are a Christian. No, there are no, God doesn't have grandchildren. When our children, the children personally need to come to a place of understanding the gospel, why sin is terrible, why Jesus is so loving and so caring, and when he died for us, when we put our faith in Jesus, he saves us. To make him wise unto salvation, there must be a training of the Word of God. Training of the Word of God. I'm thankful for one thing. You know, when you train your child to do something from young, when he's old, he's not going to leave it. When he's old, he's not going to leave it. Parents, mothers, sometimes dad's not around. Have you trained your children to read the Bible for themselves? I'm serious. Reading the Bible. If you're doing the ACE, some of you may have to. The purpose of the AC or the Score Tomorrow program is by 4.5 to 5 years old, the child should be able to read and write. Reading the Bible for themselves. Some children here who come to church every Sunday don't have a regular time in the Word of God. Can I just put it in perspective? When you do not have the equipment to fight fires in your life on a daily basis, when the fire comes, you can't put the fire out. Your children need to be able to handle the things of life. Physics, chemistry, science, maths is not going to help them. Okay? There was one man, he was a godly man, he preached and all that. One time, he was a lawyer, he wasn't full-time, so as he was driving home one day, his son, about 10 years old, actually had some congenital medical problems. It didn't surface until about 10 to 11 years old. And it was very dangerous because what happened was the bones at about 10 years old started to grow at a rapid rate. And they were growing in such a way, I'm not too sure how, but all I can remember is he got a call from the doctor. The doctor said, a call from the wife. And the wife said, you've got to come back. Your son is in danger. He's in hospital right now. And what happened, the bones started to grow and grow inwards towards here, which means that if we don't stop it, it will pierce the heart. It's just a congenital thing. So I don't know all that worked. And you know what? The man was called in. The mom and the dad called into the hospital room. And the doctor said, look, we need to do an emergency operation. I need to explain to you there's going to be a high risk. And say, first, we're going to have to put your child to sleep. He's about 10 years old, 11 years old. And then we've got to stop his breathing. And then put into mechanical means for breathing. And then we've got to stop his heart and put into mechanical means of breathing so we can deal with whatever it is. And you know, the doctor said it in front of the child. 11 years old, he understood everything. And then he's a godly man. You know, he loved the doctors. I mean, he cared for them and said, why in the world are you saying these things now? I'm 11 years old. But the surgeon, after a year, the father said, well, yeah, I understand, but no. The surgeon turned over to the 11-year-old and said, son, do you understand what's going to happen? And he said, yeah, no problems. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What shall separate me from the love of God? And then the boy started to quote over 30 verses because the child was trained in Christian education. And then the surgeon was looking at the child. I think this child's going to be okay. You see, science is not going to help you in that kind of situations. Your PhD won't help you. God's word. I'm telling you this. We are losing too many children because we are not making training our children in the word of God a priority. We're losing our children. And God is not looking for Christians who love the world and love Christ. He's looking for people dedicated to his world. But the only way we can do that is to train our child from young. But Brother Johnny, aren't we trying to Christianize them? And this is a fine line we walk. As parents, we need to show our children the way they should go. And we need to tell them this is the way God wants you to go. This is the way God wants you to read your Bible. This is the way God wants you to dress. This is the way that the music you need to listen to. This is the way, whether they listen to. Now that I've told you, I'd like you to follow what God says. But son, I love you, and I don't care how you made decisions, but I want you to follow God. And with love, dedication, and training in the right direction, your child will go the way he should go. You are losing too many children. You are training a whole... Even the Straits Times, I think the New Testament... the New Paper. What is saying New Testament? The New Paper is saying that we're training a whole generation of children who feels that everything is entitled to them. When God said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. To the day I die, as pastor, I will still preach self-denial because that is what Jesus wants our children to learn. That means children don't get ice cream all the time. That means children need to eat everything on the plates to train them. And these are things which, as parents, we've got to make decisions for our children. And I'm challenging you. you need to turn your child towards Christ in everything that you do. There must be a teaching of the Word of God. There must be training of the Word of God. I didn't even go through the verse. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. Teach them what is right. Parents, you don't teach them what we think is right. We teach them what the Bible says is right. What the Bible says is right. That means, children, when you disobey your parents, that is wrong. That is wrong. And as moms and dads, we've got to deal with it as wrong. Because otherwise our children will grow up thinking that there's no value in the Word of God. If we take a spiritual aspect, if God says to discipline our children with the rod, and we have our own philosophy, no, we're not going to do that. Well, then we're putting our wisdom above God. And there's a lot of debate about using the rod, all that. But I know that children sometimes, there are different children who are disciplined. No, but God, you said the rod. Okay? In church camp, we're going to talk a little bit about that and how we administer that in a way that will glorify God and that will help the child. But you know, all these things are just simple. I'm not saying all children, some children's skin are so thick that we need to use other ways. I agree. But you know what? Let's just follow God first. Follow God first. Obey Him first. Teaching them what is right, then teaching them what reproof means, to reprove them. I have this proof, but I reprove them. You need to teach them what is wrong. We live in a culture today that we cannot tell people what is wrong. Our children need to know what is right and what is wrong. When our children speak disrespectfully to parents, our parents need to look at them and say, I will not tolerate that kind of talk because that is wrong according to the Bible. You do not speak arrogantly against your mom or dad. And you need to deal with that, parents. Okay? One principle is, you know what's a spankable offense? Anything that goes against the Word of God. I say again, a spankable offense is anything that goes against the Word of God. It has to be dealt with seriously. Of course, for some offense is one, some offense is 10, some offense is whatever. You have to decide as parents. But there must be a correction. The children must know what is right and wrong. If I were to pull your child aside and interview them with a set of 10 questions based on the scriptures, is it wrong not to give to God? What would your children say? Is it wrong if I don't read my Bible? Is it wrong when I don't pray? Is it wrong? Of course, some people may say, well, they're not saved, so they don't know. But have you taught them what is right? Have you taught them what is right and wrong? And then correction. Mom, you got to correct them when they're wrong. And then that involves discipline and instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness in Christ. And then, you know, not only there must be teaching in the Word, there must be training in the Word. There must be a training objective in the Word. Training objective. What is your training objective for your child? This is very serious. What is the training objective for your child? The Bible teaches that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The training objective of every mom for their child is so that they can be perfect. They can be, they can be spiritually mature. Because in verse 17, that the man of God may be mature spiritually, truly furnished unto all good works. The word good works doesn't just mean doing things for charity, but the word good works is defined by the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, after salvation, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Not being charitable by giving money only, but giving money that will increase the work of God. Winning souls. And one of the objectives, the children's ministry, is in my mind, I'll discuss with them, that our children in the children's ministry need to be able to lead someone else to Jesus Christ. Isn't that a spiritual objective? But of course, they need to be saved first. They need to know what genuine salvation is first. Well, what is the training objective, mothers? Do we have our children? Or do well in your studies and get a good job? That's not a training objective. That's our desire. That's a Singaporean dream. But what is a biblical training objective? It is to make sure our children grow up, get saved, do the works that God wants them to do, and to see them flourishing in it. That is the spiritual training objective of every godly mother. This is what the Bible says, and that's what I can tell you. But Brother Johnny, what about our desires? Well, then submit the desires at the cross. Put it at the cross. And let the cross examine that. And if it passes the cross, do it. But God says we are to prepare our children so that they can be ready for all the good works God wants them to do. Matthew 5 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God. See your good works and glorify God. Many parents take the worldly achievements that a secular panel will say, well done, you got a gold medal, and then give that to God. Nothing wrong with that. We can give glory for our achievements. But you know, when Jesus said that in Matthew 5:16, you look at it in perspective. When the people glorified God, it was without the person saying. That at the end of the whole thing, these people are drawn to God because of what is done. In other words, when your life starts to do those good things that God told us to do, the people can see and they will give glory to God. There must be a training objective. The training of our children for God involves preparing for good works, the performance of good works for the purpose of glorifying God. You know, when I look at those two videos, we're finishing soon. I look at those videos and I'm always encouraged. I'm very encouraged. But you know the challenge is? The challenge are threefold. The world is going to come and sap every minute of your time so that things of God is no longer important. When I talk about things of God, I'm literally meaning His work, His word, and His will. Number one, the worldly influences. Number two, your own personal Christian life. What do you believe is God's will for your child? Have you ever sorted out with God? Mothers? And of course, fathers, you're in there too. Have you sorted out? What is the training objective for my child? Number three, Satan's going to come and destroy your family. Are you ready for that? The training of our children. Emma is just 2+. You know, the younger ones are growing up. I wonder 10, 15 years from now, will we have certain children who say, Dad, Mom, I believe God called me to the ministry. Johnny, that's so far-fetched. Timothy was a Christian. Timothy became a pastor. And I wonder anyone is concerned enough for the work of God to say, God, I'm going to train my children to serve God. I'm going to train my children to serve God. I'll finish with this. With this. What are we influencing your children for, mothers? It's Mother's Day. And you know, many people have quietly said, well, let them hear the messages from Pastor Johnny, I will go out very guilty. It's not designed to make us guilty. But if God really speaks to our hearts, can I tell you as a pastor that when we direct our children in a way that is not in the platform and governed by what God has said, you have no protection for your children. It's just saying, I know Ram Maloney was very kind when I went to the Philippines. I went to a place called Cavite. Some of you may know Cavite. I just found out from Brother Francis that Cavite is a place that when they kill you, they throw you there. Right? Brother, no wonder Ram Maloney was so uptight. And when I was making my own arrangements in the Philippines, I went to Cavite. I was at the airport. You know, the I was at the Airbnb, so me and Brother Joshua Kok was there. And you know, the person in charge of Airbnb is about the size of maybe Joseph. Joseph, you want to stand up? You don't want to stand up? No, just stand up. I just want to see the size, okay? That's Joseph, his size. Okay, he's 30 years old, by the way. He's Filipino. It's about his size. Okay, thank you. Right? You know, Brother Maloney was so concerned for my safety. He messaged his mom. His sister Michelle came. Two of his brothers also came. And they came in with a car that looks like an armored truck. A Ute, I think we'll call it. This is quite a big Toyota, quite a big one. It's like you can actually put machine guns inside it. And he was there to protect me because he knew something I didn't know. You know? And you know, they were so kind. In the middle of the night, they waited from 10 plus to about midnight, you know, because there was a lot of people and a lot of problems at the immigration. So it came out at 11:30, 11:45, he was there. They followed us into Cavite, to Las Pinas, there's one place. And when they checked the GPS, the police is not there. And that increased his concern. and then he decided that he was going to, next day he's going to come back, going to find a place and all that. But in the end, they found out that actually this Airbnb guy was quite nice. He's harmless, and I came back safe. I believe he was in the will of God. But you know, we need to have that kind of concern for our children. We need to have the kind of concern for our children that looking ahead, knowing what's happening in this world. Remember the four reasons? One of the reasons we live in spiritual, morally dangerous times. And if you look at the studies about internet, social network, and how many people have been led away because of that, about even parents having objective that is outside of God's will. You know, once we take our children out of God's will, our children don't have the protection of God. Having said that, the Bible did say that every child, young child, is under the protection of an angel. But you know, mothers, our children will take what is important from you. They're not a challenge us. Not a challenge us. Will Asher still be serving God when he's 21? Will Chi Chi and Jing Rei be safe, loving Jesus, and want to come to church, not because of the sweets and the balloons, but because the Sunday school teacher is teaching her how to pray and how to be a blessing to the people? Well, young people, Catherine maybe, when she gets married to a godly man, have her children, will the influence of her life and her husband's life bring that child? Brother Johnny, is that possible? That God can make it possible? But you know what? You need to put your heart in him first. Because the things of this world will definitely bring us away from God. Are we willing to influence our children? And mothers, don't just be a mother, be a godly mother. I can tell you, you will actually be a mother that sometimes people don't even want to communicate because all you can talk about is Christ and his word and how you want to train your child for Christ. Even the very close friends of yours may say, I can't find any value in you. No, mothers, I want to challenge you to give your heart to Christ first. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that this message will keep on pushing us forwards, Lord, towards growth. And I pray, Father, for our families that I know many of us want to do right and want to serve God, that our children can be learning the Word of God from a very young age. But it does take dedication, it does take perseverance, it does take commitment, Father, to a curriculum that is Christ-honoring, Christ-centered. And Lord, yes, it does need us to make a decision in our hearts, to leave the things of this world behind, and to follow out what Jesus says. Lord, I'm asking you, strengthen every mother. We all have our challenges and things in our hearts that can only be answered by you, and we can only do our business with you sometimes, Lord, and sometimes even we as men, we are not so sensitive. I pray for every mother that you will sustain every one of them with the Word of God, the training in the Word of God, and then, Lord, having the training objective to serve you with all their hearts. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do in the life of our moms. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Just feel led to say, is there a mom here who says, Pastor, pray for me that I might be the godly mom? It's not good. If you put up your hand, I'm not going to promise you that it's going to have it easy. You're going to have all your needs met. Your child will definitely turn out right and all that kind of thing, you know. But God can promise that. But the first thing God usually asks is for our hearts first. Is there a mom here who says, Pastor, pray for me? And by the grace of God and His strengths, I've decided that my children need to grow in line with what Jesus wants and what His Word wants. Is there a mom like that? I'll be praying for you, that's all. Amen. I see the hand. I see that hand. Is there someone else? Any other moms? It's a pastor, pray for me. All right. If you're a dad, and I pray that we need to seek to understand our wives better, and to chart that direction and support the direction, because the training of children is not merely on the shoulders of the mothers, but it's actually the responsibility of the fathers. The mothers are the people that will drive and work, but the fathers, we need to chart the direction, but is it your desire to? And I'm praying for you to also be able to take that lead. For us as a church, we need to work together with the families, that our children will grow up in an environment that will honor Christ first above all. And even relationships at home, out of church, at workplace and school will reflect the Spirit of Christ. Heavenly Father, I commit the moms that put up their hands into your hands. Thank you for them. Despite their situations that they are in, Lord, I'm asking you to give them a deep-seated desire, a single-hearted desire to train their children for the glory of God. No matter what life may take them, no matter what plan you have for all the children, I pray that you will give the mom wisdom to work together with whoever, Lord, the husband, the church, the Sunday school, and so on, that together we will be able to, by your grace, craft out, Lord, the direction of our children towards serving you. Lord, you may take them away from this church, but God, I pray that their lives will be always anchored in you. Father, we don't ever want to lose any of our children to the world, to the devil, and to sin. Father, I pray for all our children as they live and learn in Ambassador, that every child will be under the protection of God. But God, I pray for every mom once again, fill them with your Spirit, and may they be willing, Lord, to walk with you, and their influence of their testimony will be so strong that when the child grow up, they will not depart from the way mom showed them. I pray for every father struggles, but Lord, thank you for your grace, and I pray we will imbibe the spiritual principles in thy word, to obey your word, Lord, that when we are supposed to teach, we will teach, we're supposed to train, we will train, when we're supposed to discipline, we will discipline. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I ask you to bind every family together. I pray for families that may have trials. I'm asking you for your Spirit of truth, comfort, wisdom be upon that family, that they will be able to realign themselves back, Lord, to your word once again. So we thank you, Lord, as we just honor some of our moms right now, I ask you to bless them. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.